And it may be an eye-opener to you, but on the Day of Atonement, at the time of the sacrifice, there were three different fires burning. Three different fires. Now, I know that many of you are even looking at my pictures and thinking, he shouldn't be a preacher, he should have gone into artistry as a great artist. I know that. But you know, I have to put the Lord first. there were three altars, if you will. Three altars going on at the same time. And the question from the Lord is, do you see them? Not the historic, not necessarily, you know, yeah, it's good to see. Do you see them? Do you understand them? Do you see the fire of the spirit? Do you see the fire of the soul? Do you see the fire of the body? Do you see these realities at work in you as you follow the Lord? The first one is in Leviticus 16. And the bullock for the sin, and this verse 27, Leviticus 16, verse 27. The bullock for the sin offering and the goat for the sin offering, whose blood was brought in to make an atonement in the holy place, shall one carry forth outside of the camp, and they shall burn in the fire their skins and their flesh and their dung. All right, so one fire, one altar, is happening outside the camp. You can write that down. Outside the camp. And to see that, probably should keep your place in Leviticus in case we go back there. In fact, we will in chapter 16. But turn with me right now to Hebrews 13. And let's go ahead and start in verse 10. As always, the scriptures seem to come at a different angle than what we mentally think. They just seem to approach things differently. This says, "For we have an altar of which they have no right to eat, who serve the tabernacle." And it's about to talk about what is burned outside the camp. It's also talking about those who serve the tabernacle don't have a right to eat of this. We have an altar of which they have no right to eat who serve the tabernacle. For the body of those beasts whose blood is brought into the sanctuary. Remember, we talked about this in one of the classes. The amazing reality that their blood or their life flow or their self-giving nature described by the blood being poured out is in the Holy of Holies, but their bodies are outside the camp and rejected. One is in the highest place and the other one is almost the lowest. For the bodies of those beasts whose blood is brought into the sanctuary by the high priest for sin are burned outside the camp. Wherefore Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered outside the gate. Verse 13, let us go forth therefore unto him outside the camp, bearing his reproach. For here we have no continuing city, but we seek one to come. All right, interesting progression there when you read it. It takes us to the type, then it takes us to the reality of Christ, and then it hits home for practicality in our life. Number one, for the bodies of those beasts, that's the shadow, that's the Old Testament picture of literal beast being killed and taken outside the camp and burned. That's first, number one. Then number two, verse 11, verse 12 is number two, wherefore Jesus also. Same thing, except for this is the fulfillment of wherefore Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered outside the gate. But it's not over with. Then verse 11 is one thing, the shadow. Verse 12 is the other thing, Christ alone. Verse 13 is us. Verse 13, let us go forth therefore. I don't know how people get away with reading the word and putting everything 2,000 years ago, and it has no effect on our life. I do know how it does. What they do is they see Jesus going in with the bullock as a mediator, and they never see oneness. And they never see that whatever is true of Jesus now is true of us. As he is, so are we in the earth, in this world. As he is, you know, in glory, so are we. And so there is this reality, and if you never see oneness, let me just say this. This is not to discourage you or anything, but it is just fact. We've had bunches of people come through this school, and there are those who have graduated that if you try to talk to them today about oneness or about being united with Christ, it's almost like a foreign language to them. There are people like that, graduates. I mean, think about what I share every time. This is hard press. But folks, I'm telling you that for one reason. I'm not telling you that because they're stupid, because they're not. I'm telling you that because it is possible to hear stuff and think you got it because you heard it 870 million times while in Bible school, and leave, and it leaves you because you never saw it. You only saw me see it, or if you understand what I mean. You must know this. And so let me say this to each and every one of you. This is a God-given opportunity for you. This is not a joke, and it's not something to pass time with. It is a God. It is an eternal moment. God opened in eternity a couple of years for you where you could really seek the Lord. Do you do that? And I don't know if you do or don't. I mean, maybe you really do, and I'm just talking into the air. But the question is, are you applying? Are you getting after the Lord? Are you seeking the Lord? When was the last time you cried? When was the last time you cried over the Word of God as you're reading it? Either because you want to see the Lord or because you're seeing the Lord and you're just so happy. I mean, I've got this one's pretty bad too, right there, you know. But I mean, I've got Bibles that I've got tear stains all over them, and they're all wrinkled and messed up and everything, but I remember, you know what I remember? I remember what I saw there. It's like those tear stains are marking life, and I can mark my progression in the Lord by them. And I'm not saying you have to cry all the time and stuff. That's not what I'm saying. But what I am saying is, what is your tenor towards the Lord now, and was it that way yesterday, and will it be that way tomorrow and 2 weeks from now? Is it a tenor of cruise control, or is it a concerted Jesus loving, Jesus desiring, Jesus wanting being that has grasped the divine gift of time to be able to go after the Lord and to seek him with everything you got? To love the Lord thy God with all your heart, soul, and strength. And to seek the Lord while he may be found. Because I'm telling you, your lives are going to change drastically after you get out of Bible school, man. This is it. This is blessing time. This is the time to do it. And if you're not doing it now, trust me, you get out of Bible school, it's not going to be going on. It just won't. You got to develop that heart now. And if you do, while you're in Bible school, you know what happens? You'll carry it with you all the rest of your life. It is possible. We got people in this room that have done that. We got people in this room even that should have run out of here screaming, but their heart for the Lord kept them when everything was bad. And trust me, everybody gets their time period when things go really, really bad. You know. And they have kept after the Lord, though, because they developed a certain heart and a certain lifestyle. You know. Now, I'm going to tell you straight up, I don't read the Bible every day. I don't search the scriptures every day. I can tell you that pretty much every day the scriptures are searching me, if you know what I mean. There, you know, the Lord's dealing with me. But I don't know that I pray every day. I probably do, but maybe I don't, you know. But I tell you what, this old boy wants Jesus, and I do want Jesus, and I'm not fooling around, and I haven't been fooling around. And I, you know, and you might think that a lot of the things I share, I get that from, I thought about it today when I did have some time, because Thursday I'm going, so I know I need to be, you know, so my Thursdays are really spent with the Lord and stuff like that. But it was funny, I was thinking while I was searching, how many people thought, well, yeah, you know, of course Randy can get all that good stuff out of the Word. He's got all these days and all this time to do it. I got news for you. I don't have any more time than you do. I mean, we all got the same amount of time. We all get 24 hours a day. Nobody gets 26 or 28 or, you know, we all get the same amount of time, you know. And I don't, you know, I'm not some sort of a weird creature guy that's locked in his office at home and, oh, man, and I'm just pouring over here. Hey, yeah, I got to find something new and all that. No, I'll tell you what brings this stuff out, and it's simply a heart that wants Jesus and that never lets go of him. And so if I'm driving down the road and I haven't been in the Word in 2 weeks, the Spirit of God can speak to me because I'm there. And I mean that. It's a hard thing. It's never what you do. It's the spirit in which you do it that counts. Don't think there's anything virtuous in what you do. It's the spirit in which you do it. Yeah, Cassie? All right. Well, I may end class a little early tonight just because we're going to have a little practice up here, and it's going to get real noisy in here, and sometimes they don't let you play too loud after 10 o'clock, so I may have to end early just so we can have enough time to do stuff. Yes. But you do realize that as soon as we start, they'll descend upon us. That's Yeah, Cassie, you raising your hand? All right. So, anyway, that was a little side thing, but I'm just talking to you guys one-on-one, and I just love you, and I really know that you all do love the Lord, but there is this part of us that makes us who we are in this place where we're going after the Lord, and there's no question about it. I mean, you know, there's no question about it. We're going after the Lord. And it must flow down to each and every one of you, but it's your decision. All of this stuff starts as a decision. You make a decision every day. You make a choice. You keep going, and eventually those decisions and choices every day become habit. And eventually, habit becomes a lifestyle. Okay? But it starts with just making decisions. You're sitting there and you go, okay, I got a choice. I can go do this and go have fun, or go, you know, or I can really get in the Word and, you know. And I tell you what, here's another thing. If you feel this churning in you, man, I really want to get in the Word, or I really want to read something, or I really want to get close, I want to spend a little time with the Lord, you better do it then. Because I guarantee if you don't, and you say, well, but I want to go do this, or I need to go do this, you know, and you do that, and then later on you go, okay, now I've got time, that oomph is not in you at that moment. And you go, then you can spend an hour in the Word and go, you know, I think I'm worse than when I started. I mean, it's about like that. You get nothing out of it. You've accomplished nothing. And God's not particularly pleased. Do it when, you know, strike when the iron is hot. And discipline yourself enough to say, no, I'm not going to go do this other thing. I feel the churning of the Lord, and I'm going to pursue the Lord right now. And if it, you know what, if it lasts for 5 minutes, you're better off going after him during that period than 2 hours the other, because it's just labor. Otherwise, it's just worthless, and then you are burning time. Yeah. All right. So I said my little piece. Anybody have any question about me being the director and founder here? Because that's that's what's happening in me. Okay. So you see that. Let's see. Let me just make sure. Let me read this again. In verse 11, for the bodies of those beasts whose blood is brought into the sanctuary by the high priest for sin. Notice the words for sin. For sin. Because it is the animals or the beasts that are burned, that are sacrificed for sin, that are burned outside the camp. Outside the camp is not, you are not being treated as a burnt offering. You are not being treated as a peace offering. You are not being looked upon as something holy. That says it right there, and the proof of that is the Day of Atonement. What was burned outside the camp was for sin. Okay? You need to realize that the blood, that the life flow of your being is in the Holy of Holies, anchored there. Can I get amen? And hold on. You need to hold on to that. But guess what? You may be looked upon as a sinner, as a bad person. I mean, it could happen to you. It's happened to me a few times. A few each day. All right. But on the inside of the tabernacle is another altar. It's the brazen altar, but what's being, I'll put it like this, what's being cooked on that altar? Let's go back to Leviticus 16. Leviticus 16 and verse 3. Thus shall Aaron come into the holy place, and that's the Holy of Holies, thank you, with a young bullock for a sin offering and a ram for a burnt offering. Okay? And let's see if I got verse 4. And he shall put on the holy linen. Let's see. He shall holy attire therefore in water. All right. So the blood of it, this thing was killed outside in the tabernacle on the brazen altar. The sin offering and the burnt offering, and the blood was brought into the Holy of Holies. Okay? The burnt offering wasn't taken outside the camp, nor was it killed outside the camp. It was killed on the brazen altar and burned up there. Because that's what you do with a burnt offering. You burn it all up. Another word that's used is a whole burnt offering, because the whole thing is burned up. And that has nothing to do with sin, again. Okay? So, notice, outside the camp, we've got a sin offering in the tabernacle. Did I spell it right? Is the brazen altar. See all those misspellings you see up there? Show you how badly I need Mallory when I write books. Any book you ever read of mine that has good spelling is usually Mallory. Could be Cassie, could be a few, but there are those that God has given me to make up for all my flaws and lacks. All right, so So there's two of the fires, and of course you know what the last one is. It's the if you ever wonder why when I'm writing on the board, when I step away and start writing on the board, I really hit the board loud while I'm writing, it's so people who are listening to the tape will know I'm writing something, and there's a gap where nobody's talking, but they go, oh, he's writing. So that's why I do that. All right, altar of incense. Three fires. Amen? Three fires. And I started this by saying, do you see them? And I didn't mean, do you see the history or the... Do you see the three fires, spirit, soul, and body? Do you see the effect in your life? Do you understand the reality of the different fires? And, of course, the altar of incense. It's not just the altar of incense. It's the altar of incense with the censer. And those are not separate. The censer, if you... Scott will probably share on this in the tabernacle class. The censer is part of the altar of incense. But the censer goes in, and it is a vessel carrying the coals off the brazen altar, the hot burning coals off the brazen altar, and the sweet incense that is going to be burned and rise to the Lord. So, here is a strange thing, though, when we read in Hebrews 13 that it says, we have an altar of which we partake that they have no right. And then it starts talking about the altar outside the camp. Wouldn't you automatically think he's probably talking about the burnt offering, or especially the peace offering, because that's one that you really get to eat, you know? But he's saying, you get to partake. Maybe he's not really talking about eating something. Maybe he's talking about partaking of something. Maybe he's talking about let us go unto him. He didn't say let us go outside the camp. It said let us go unto him. You're not going to your death. You're not going to your rejection. You're going to Jesus. You're not, you haven't embraced a cross concept. You've embraced a lamb. Does anybody see the difference? I don't agree with a cross concept. Here's why. I need to quit talking so we can end this. But here's why I don't agree with a cross concept. I don't agree with a cross concept because it becomes a teaching, a concept on paper that I apply to my life. I make that cross concept some sort of a, what am I trying to say here? A system by which I approach things. I don't agree with that. I believe in the Lamb, and I believe in oneness with the Lamb, and by oneness, what is in Him flows into me, and therefore I do what He does, but I'm not doing concepts. I'm living by His life, and His life tends to lay down His life for others and to put others first and to not think more highly of Himself than He ought. I hope y'all see the difference, because there are groups similar to ours that really put forth a cross concept, and people join that. But one of the things within our group, I've seen people not really see oneness with the Lamb, and therefore, eventually, you begin to get upset with the cross concept, because, you know, basically, it sounds like you're telling everybody to give up and lose and die and go through. And that's not what I'm saying at all. I'm saying come unto Jesus. He happens to be outside the camp, but I'm trying to get you to Jesus. The scriptures say that. You know what? I didn't make that up. It didn't say, come unto Jesus up on the throne. That's the Bible we just read. Did it say, come to Jesus up on the throne? Did it say that? No. It said, come unto Jesus outside the camp. But the emphasis is, let us go unto Him. And then if you do, you won't be getting upset about junk and this and that because it'll come by life. And I'll say this. I need to quit talking here. But I understand when people get upset when they've embraced a cross concept and not the Lamb. I understand them getting upset. I would too. It's like laying a heavy burden on people when... But folks, I'm telling you, this is a terrible way of putting it. But I'm going to just say it like this, and I hope you give me a little grace. It's not my fault because I'm not putting forth a cross concept. I really am trying to lift up Jesus and oneness with Him. But if they misread that, and that every time you say cross or death, they go, oh, that's all you ever talk about. No, that is not all I ever talk. I talk about Jesus. And I talk about the Lamb, and I'm doing my best to lift up the Lamb, and I'm suffering for it, but I don't care. Because I believe that oneness with Jesus is just the most wonderful thing in the world. And sure, there's hard stuff, and yes, but you know what? In the hard stuff, and when it gets really hard and really dark, I want you to know, if you really love Jesus and you keep holding on to Him, you'll come out on the other side. It's not like the world. When we see light at the end of the tunnel, it's Jesus. When they see light at the end of the tunnel, it's a train. You know? I mean, there is no end. There is no hope, you know? But there is with Christ. There is with oneness. And you go through this dark thing, you may not have anything left to hold on except for, I believe I'm one with the Lamb, but I guarantee you'll make it out on the other side. I guarantee. So, you know, I'm just encouraging you to hold on in that sense when you get to those times. And then a sentence here I wrote, once the incense has preceded the high priest, then he goes into the holiest for the and brings this fragrance with him. This fragrance. I'm going to try to end with this statement. It's not just that this high priest has, you know, these certain garments that identify him as a priest, or that God goes, who's that slipping in behind the veil there? Oh, that's Aaron. I recognize Aaron. Okay, dude, come on. It is not that. It is that sweet savor fills that room and it overshadows everything. And it's the sweet savor of Christ. And Aaron comes in under the cover of that Jesus, that self-giving nature. It's not a special person, the high priest Aaron. It's not a special person. It's one who got sense enough to get out of the way and cover himself with the self-giving nature of Christ. Thank God for a couple of amens, because I could just shout right now. It's not about being special. Quit trying to be special. You know? All that's going to get you is special ed. You know? I mean, that's where you're heading with all that. You know? No, not being special, being hid. You ever read the scripture in Colossians that says we are hid in Christ? You ever read that? I wonder if that could have to do with the incense, the sweet fragrance of Christ, that we are hidden and covered over so that when we go into the presence of God, God's kind of looking through the fog and going, well, I smell Jesus, so you're accepted. I'm not going to kill you. And you know what? This is an absolute fact. If he didn't have that cloud, and it says that, if he didn't have that cloud, God would have killed him. You skip the incense, you're dead, baby. You skip being hid. You skip the covering, you're on your own. But thank God, we may not always, let me word it like this. You are not the sweet incense. You are the sour no sense. You are not the sweet incense. But you can cover yourself with that. And in 2 Corinthians chapter 2, it says that sweet savor can come out of us. All that means is we're a censer, we're not the incense. We're a vessel to hold him, we're not it. I don't know that that censer, all the time, everywhere it went for the whole year, just gave off the sweet scent. I don't know that. I know one thing, when it got before God, it said, look, I know all he wants is Jesus. So, you know, I'm not that. I hadn't been acting that way, but I believe in it. I'm one with it, and I'm trying to give it to you as much as I can. That is an amen. That really is. You're not perfect. You're not the incense. You're going to mess up. You're going to come short. You're going to fail in so many areas. Don't fail to give the Father Jesus or to say, I know what you want. I know what satisfies you. I'm with you. I'm not it. But let's talk about Jesus. Oh, the Lamb. How beautiful. Amen. Just do everything you can to lift him up and to give him to the Father. All right, let's pray. Father, we just thank you for your...